Many of you are surely wondering why I have summoned you at this hour.
It's time for the big interview!
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
That's right, it's big. It's the big names, the big news, the biggest stories. It's the next big thing. What's the big deal? It's the big interview.
What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Money Life brings you the big thinkers, the top experts, the brightest minds. With the big interview, you can stay informed about all the financial matters that are important to you, all in one big package.
Oh, boy. Got a package this big. I've always wanted to have a huge package.
Did my taxes pay for this?
The big interview. Sit down, strap yourself in, and get ready to learn.
Your mind is beginning to work. It's entirely due to my influence, of course. You mustn't take any credit.
Well, today we're going to see if we can't get your mind to work around the importance of exchange-traded funds in your portfolio and in the financial planning world in general. Because a study released Wednesday by the Financial Planning Association, it was conducted by the Journal of Financial Planning and the FPA Research and Practice Institute. A study released Wednesday basically comes out and says that for the first time, advisors are saying that ETFs are their preferred investment vehicle, with 81% of financial advisors either currently using or recommending ETFs with their clients. And that made ETFs the most popular investment vehicle among about 20 options. Here to discuss it is Valerie Chalet. She is Practice Management Director for the Financial Planning Association. Now, if you want more information, if you want to go check out the study for yourself, go to onefpa.org. And in this case, one is spelled out, O-N-E, onefpa.org. And they're on Twitter, the Financial Planning Association, at FP Association. But right now, Valerie Chalet is here. Valerie, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you.
You know, this is not a surprise. I don't think anybody is shocked that ETFs have become as popular as they are. But I do think there's a lot in this study that is at least a little bit surprising in terms of maybe how advisors see ETFs and are using them. Most of the time, an ETF is meant to be a passive investment vehicle. Are you seeing, and am I right in sort of looking at the survey as I did and kind of seeing that, okay, you've got a passive investment vehicle, but advisors kind of add the layer of active management to it. So they're giving you active by what they do and buying passive to be the tools that get it done. Is that the right thing to take out of this?
Well, I think that there are advisors who do that, who are using, actively using passive investments to satisfy their clients' needs. But I also think that advisors are using a blend. So although ETF usage has surpassed mutual fund usage, according to the survey, for the first time, 78% of advisors are still using and recommending mutual funds, so we're not too far behind ETFs on that front. And I think that there is also a time element. You know, what's happening in the market might dictate whether advisors are flocking to more passive versus active investments.
But we've seen a tremendous growth. I mean, to me, the interesting thing, and it's the 2015 Trends in Investing Survey, but it's the trend from survey to survey, which you've been doing this for 10 years now, that I found particularly interesting. Because back when this started in 2006, it was like 20% or 15% of advisors using ETFs, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So in the growth, is it that advisors have said this is a better vehicle? This is a vehicle that gets more control? What is driving it? Is it the ETFs driving their use because, well, hey, we're creating more, we're coming up with constantly new products, et cetera? Or is it the advisors who in some ways can say, look, you can go buy an actively managed fund on your own. You don't need me to do that, but you need me to do the allocation.
I think that's part of it. I also think just the general attributes of ETFs that make them attractive to investors continue to speak to advisors. So they're low cost, they're typical tax efficiency, and I'm talking about traditional ETFs. So as you know, there are leveraged ETFs and derivative-based ETFs, and the ETF landscape has changed dramatically. But the traditional ETF that I think a lot of advisors and investors have come to love have things like liquidity. You can trade them intraday. You don't have to wait until the end of the day. Transparency, the tax efficiency, because the underlying holdings don't often change. So there are a lot of things about them that are attractive to people that continue to make them, especially in an environment where the market is continuing to increase, they make them very attractive.
You know, one of the things you talked about was that, well, we're getting a lot of different flavors of ETFs. And the one that's been getting the most press, at least in the financial world that I wind up running in, is all the smart beta funds. You did, in this survey, ask some questions about adoptions of some of those types of funds. And mostly what we're seeing is that although ETFs are popular, it's much more the plain vanilla, here's an ETF flavor of your traditional fund, or here's an ETF flavor of whatever index it might be, as opposed to let's go off and get the smart beta, here's what it does, the newfangled thing, right?
Yes, and I don't know how much of that is because advisors find them unattractive, and how much of it is driven by the fact that, frankly, a lot of broker-dealers and wirehouses are spooked by them, because regulators are very attentive to the use of those and want to make sure that investors understand what they're getting into with those. So in the same way that broker-dealer and wirehouse-affiliated registered reps were slower to adopt social media usage, I think that in some ways the regulation and the fears around that are, you know, maybe hindering the use of some of the smart beta funds.
You know, one of the other things that you guys looked at was just the general feeling of financial advisors in terms of what they're doing right now, what they're thinking right now. And the results there would suggest long term, everybody still thinks this market's got a way to go and things are going to be good. But short term, they see trouble coming. Now, there are some folks that believe that a financial advisor's job is to always see trouble coming. You know, that's that speck on the horizon, it could be a bad guy. Whether it's truly visible or not, every speck on the horizon could be a bad guy. But am I right in looking at this and going, yeah, right now, the general sense of financial advisors is a little bit more nervous than it's been?
I think so. And I think probably just because we've had it pretty good for a while, and we know that the market's cyclical. What goes up must come down. But I do think there are other things driving that, including uncertainty around tax law changes and, you know, investment taxes and things like that that are, and interest rates and all of the things that could change in the near future. I think that also helps drive people toward ETF usage. So for example, you know, interest rates are going up, right? That's what I've been telling my clients for I don't know how many years now.
Yep.
So an ETF bond fund might be a more attractive recommendation for a client if I believe interest rates are going up, because we certainly don't want to, you know, be tied into something that is illiquid and where we have interest rate risk attached to it.
For investors who look at this stuff and are trying to decide what they want to do, the other moral of this story is that ETFs and mutual funds, for as much as we're talking about them as if they somehow compete with each other, do whatever, they can all peacefully coexist in a portfolio. And indeed, in practice, that's what the majority of financial planners are really doing. It may be that ETFs have become more popular, but the truth is most people are going to find, if you're working with an advisor, they're going to get you the best option regardless of which chassis it comes on, correct?
Oh, I think that's true. I was recently asked if this study indicates the demise of the mutual fund, and I don't think that's the case. I think that most advisors will use both, depending on a client's goals and depending on what the market happens to be doing and frankly, where advisors think they can make money for their clients, because ultimately that's what they're trying to do. That's how they keep their clients happy and keep their clients' clients. So I do think that they will continue to coexist.
And I hope that they do. I just hope that folks are using them the right way. Quickly, because we're almost out of time. The last thing on the study, we talked about all the different options. And of course, ETFs are number one. What are the things that they are not using? What are the things that advisors are basically getting away from at this point?
Well, the study indicated that advisors are using fewer annuities. For all of the things that people love about ETFs, I suppose annuities are the opposite of those. And so it makes sense if more people are using ETFs, fewer are using investments that are very dissimilar, like annuities.
Yeah. So there you have it, folks. If you want to get more information on the study, go to 1fpa.org. Valerie Chalet is Practice Management Director for the Financial Planning Association. She's also the president of Summit View Financial in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more information, I said it's 1fpa.org. How about on Twitter for the Financial Planning Association? That's at FP Association. Valerie Chalet, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. Take care.
Hey, we have just hit the halfway pole on the May 28th edition of the show. Up next, Bob Powell in for Senior Focus, and then the Money Life Market Call. We're going to be having some fun there, so stick around. We're living the money life, and we're back to it in just a moment.